I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast coming to you from Paul Brown Stadium, where if you follow me on Instagram, you can see my view right now. I just posted it in my Instagram story, at James Erpine, also on Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. A lot to get to today. It's a wide receiver edition, an unexpected wide receiver edition of the podcast. Today, you're going to hear from Alex Erickson. You're going to hear from Josh Malone, Tyler Boyd, and A.J. Green. On the news of the day, which is Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell was cut by the Bengals today. I will discuss that in just a second. Just a quick reminder that every single Bengals training camp practice, there's a recap. There's a recap video. There's highlights and more in one spot, LockedOnBengals.com. And a quick reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. Yesterday, I had the it was awesome because you've heard I had the opportunity, the honor, whatever you want to say, to meet up with Joe Goodberry. And we talked. It was the first time we've met in person. Obviously, I've had him on this podcast. I've done radio interviews with Joe for years now. And he was at camp. He's going to be at camp today. We did a recap video. You can watch that on the website as well at LockedOnBengals.com. And as always, he brought the heat. He came up with and saw things that most people haven't seen or most people don't see. And there's also highlights from him and John Sheeran and more that they've posted at LockedOnBengals.com. And we will do another recap video today after practice that I will certainly post on the website as well. But let's talk about the news of the day. The news of the day is very simple. Brandon LaFell released by the Bengals. What does it mean? Well, the first thing it means is that you need to subscribe to the podcast because we were all over. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, it's a bittersweet day, I think, for a lot of Bengals, especially the ones in that wide receiver room. LaFell kind of ushered in this new era of the Bengals, the era that we, at least of the wide receivers. Think about it. He came post Malone, or post, excuse me, post Malone. Hey, I like his music. But post Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, it was him and Tyler Boyd. They were brought here in the same year. Boyd was about as NFL ready as a wide receiver as the Bengals were going to get in round two. If you think back to the 2016 draft, they had him, they had LaFell. And he was the guy that has coached up. There's a really good story on Cincinnati.com right now by Jim Ossarski where John Ross explains, describes, and there's even a quote in there in his story from Brandon LaFell. LaFell saw the writing on the wall. He knew that the Bengals were adding these young guys and eventually his time would come. I remember talking to him last year on the podcast about how motivated he was to show that he still deserved a spot here. That even though they drafted John Ross and Josh Malone and Cody Core was in year two and Tyler Boyd was in year two, that he deserved a spot with the Bengals. And this year, I'm not saying he didn't seem motivated, but he never talked to the media. This year, it did seem like it was pretty clear to me early on that I wasn't loving his chances of making this team. I noted it on here on this podcast multiple times, on recap videos, on the website, and more, just because it seems like Josh Malone's coming on. It seems like these guys are coming on, and to me, LaFell might have been the odd man out. It turns out it was. And the realistic and obvious thing that the Bengals did here is they gave LaFell a chance to find work elsewhere. And I know there was a statement from his agent, and his agent says, "Oh, we asked for this." I'm not so sure that was the case. Now, I've seen conflicting reports. Catherine Terrell of ESPN.com says the people with the Bengals she's talked to says that was not the case. Maybe the agent's trying to save face. Who knows? But the reality is the Bengals move on from a guy that they kept around to make sure they were okay at wide receiver. And it feels like they were more than okay at wide receiver. And it's one of those things where they probably didn't want to spend the $3 million. They already gave him $1 million roster bonus. But they probably didn't want to spend that $3 million. He will probably end up elsewhere. We'll see. I thought maybe the Patriots, but they signed Eric Decker today. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Let's start with a guy who was lined up right next to Brandon LaFell throughout his time with the Bengals. Tyler Boyd has his locker in between Brandon LaFell and Andy Dalton. Here is Tyler Boyd with myself and other Bengals reporters earlier today in the locker room.
None of us expected it. I know I didn't expect it. He was one of the vets. But, I mean, it's the business you come into. So, I mean, I can't really speak too much about it. I didn't see it coming. I don't think AJ even seen it coming. So, I mean.
They must be saying that they see something up here in the young guys. I mean, that seems to be the message.
Well, we've definitely been working to get to this point. You know, going on my third year. And like I mentioned, you know, I can control what I can control, you know. So I go out there each and every day and try to put my best film out there. You know, make a lot of plays and do what I have to do to show them that I'm here to help them win games.
How bittersweet is this, the fact that you're obviously close with Brandon, but it also probably opens the door for more opportunities for you?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like that's my boy. You know, that's the first team I've been with. You know, that's the guy that welcomed me, and that was my locker mate. But, I mean, like I mentioned, it wasn't about him leaving and me playing or him staying and me not playing. It was nothing about that or with any other guys. You know, I just, you know, going to just continue to do what I do and make plays.
Is it interesting now that you're one of the more tenured players in the room in terms of being a veteran? And, I mean, there's a couple rookies, there's some one-year, two-year guys. I mean, is that – I know it changes on a dime like that, but did you have a sense of ownership or leadership, or does something like this put more of that on you? Like, how do you kind of feel in that way?
Well, I mean, it really didn't change too much about me, you know, because before I got here, I looked at myself as a leader. You know, I looked at myself as giving anybody else knowledge that I have, you know, just like this year with the young guys, Vontae, you know, in the slot, you know, I kind of help him a lot with the plays, you know, and try to critique his craft and how to run it a certain way, you know, so he can attack levers better, you know. So, you know, it's football, you know, I know the game. It ain't like 2 years ago was my first time playing football, you know, so I already knew a lot, you know, playing that position, you know, so I'm always give tips when I feel like they should be given, you know, at the same time, and I can also soak in information as well, you know, so I'm always help no matter what situation I'm in.
How do you replace him in the room, Tyler? Do you have to change your role a little bit?
I mean, you know, I think we're going to keep it original. You know, I don't want to do too much. And every other guy don't want to do too much. They want to do their role. Everybody want to do their role. You know, but guys definitely have to step up. You know, I got to start doing more reps on the outside, you know, or whatever it takes, you know, for us to go out there and win.
I think you feel like you can play the outside, right?
Definitely. I mean, you know, like I mentioned before, out of all the interviews, you know, I feel like they can use me all over the field. You know, it's times they line me up in the backfield. It's times in the slot. Times I'm on the outside, you know, so it really don't matter to me.
Is this one of those moments that underscores that it's a tough business?
Definitely. You know, definitely of the situation that just had happened, you know, because I didn't know much. I didn't, like I mentioned, it was shocking. You know, none of us knew. None of us had that idea. We didn't have a feeling, so it was mind-blowing.
It is a statement that the young wide receivers are having a good camp, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, every guy is showing, putting big plays out there, making huge plays, you know, but I mean, like, based off everybody making those plays, everybody wants to do that. So they're making the competition even much higher. You know, it's making guys even do greater things. You know, it's bringing the best out of everybody, you know, so that's something that I love being around and being a part of.
That's Tyler Boyd. Earlier today in the Bengals locker room, I'm James Erpine. We're at Paul Brown Stadium for the Locked On Bengals podcast. Not in studio. We will be back in studio tomorrow. And as always, if you have any training camp questions, you can ask them at JamesRapine@ESPN1530.com. I do want to get to AJ Green, but it's a little longer. We're going to hold it for just a second. I also think that you're very interested in Josh Malone, his status, what is up with him health-wise. To me, he looked like Marvin Jones before he went down with injury. And I know that sounds crazy and that's insane, but that was the reality for the first 4 or 5 days of training camp. Here's Josh Malone with reporters talking about Brandon LaFell, talking about his health, and more. It's me, Jeff Hobson, Jim Osarski, a bunch of different reporters. Dan Hoard was in there as well with Josh Malone earlier today in the Bengals locker room.
It's definitely an opportunity out there for the taking. And it's the best thing about training camp is that it's a lot of opportunity and it's chance for you to prove yourself for better opportunities during the season. So
kind of an impact has Bob McNell had on you young guys? I know it's early. You haven't had much association with him. I mean, obviously you had a hell of a receiver coach before him. What's Bobby been like in that room?
He just brings a different energy. Stays on us all the time, make sure we just mentally locked in as young wide receivers, and we just ask for our best every day.
Pretty surprising. Were you surprised?
I was, especially just so early in this period that we're in. Was surprised.
Obviously, they're saying that you and John can do it. That seems to be the message.
It's definitely more opportunity. It's hard to replace the experience and what Brandon just brought to the room as a guy, but that decision is made, and as me and John, we just got to step up and produce.
What did he bring to the room, and what did you learn most from Brandon?
Experience, his craftiness, how to just handle himself as a pro. When I first got here, I was told to be by that guy and learn from him. And I learned a lot, learned how to run routes a different way, learned how to see the game in a different way, and just how to approach it as a pro.
You're a young guy yourself, but do you take responsibility that, hey, he did it for me, I got to do it for other guys?
I don't feel like I'm in that position yet, but as a room, as competitive as our room is, we kind of just help each other out just naturally, just because we all just want the best and we all just want to succeed. So I'll just probably say it's just going to probably just be a natural role just to help guys as they go through.
What's the biggest difference for you year two versus year one?
I know what to expect this year also, and just the whole entire grind of the season, I know how to get through it, take care of my body, and just mentally prepare just for the grind.
Think you might be back shortly, or
yeah, I'll be back soon. We're just taking my time.
Is it the same thing that you had in the spring?
Yeah.
Trying to get it back before you go full go.
Yeah, just get it stronger, get it back. They just taking their time, so be back out there shortly. It's nothing long term.
Sounds like good news for Josh Malone. He says it's nothing long term. He'll be back out there shortly. And if it was something long term, you think maybe the Bengals might have hung with LaFell a little bit longer. That's the one thing. I think that if they thought that was serious, maybe Auden Tate's injury was serious, or they didn't feel like Ross or Malone or any of these guys were where they wanted to be, Erickson especially, I think, too, a big part of this, because I expected LaFell to play more in the slot this year than in past years. And so if they believe Erickson can do that and be the backup slot receiver to Boyd, it makes a lot of sense to me. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Up next, AJ Green on LaFell, on the Bengals moving on from him, on his offseason. Is he LeBron James with the Lakers? How do I make that comparison? Well, he's in a locker room now, a wide receiver room, where he's the old man. AJ Green's 30 years old. We'll get to that coming up, plus my interview with Alex Erickson. He talked about LaFell's impact as well. But first, a word from Nordic Track. Sometimes it's hard to find time to go to the gym. We've all got a busy schedule. The last thing you want to do is end up in traffic. The last thing you want to do is have to go there and worry about, have you ever went to the gym and you need to shower there and go straight to work and you forgot a towel? I have, and it's the worst. And if you forget like your flip-flops, you got a shower, but you don't have flip. Yeah, you don't have to worry about any of that if you got Nordic Track. They got treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, strength training. You can enjoy high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. No traffic, no worries about anything like that. Join stream workouts in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. You could start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and with cross-training on the shores of Thailand. Maybe you want to work out on an African safari. You can do that with Nordic Track. Workouts are led by the world's top professional trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. And there's a special offer. You get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code locked on. Again, that's nordictrack.com/lockedon and use offer code locked on during checkout to save $75 off your purchase. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Without further ado, let's hear from Alex Erickson. To me, he's a guy who has been very impressive. I talked with Tony Pike about this yesterday during our recap video. You can watch it at LockedOnBengals.com. He's been very impressive. He's caught multiple deep balls downfield, one from Matt Barkley in traffic. He caught a crazy red zone touchdown yesterday where he had to stop, turn, contort his body. There was a defender on one of his hips, and he was still able to bring it down. I wasn't able to get video. It was 11 on 11. It was tough to do as far as video-wise and not violate video rules that the NFL has, but and that the Bengals have. But Erickson's looked good, and I think he's establishing himself as more than just a returner, which he was earlier in his career. He's more than just that. He's a capable wide receiver, someone that can go out there and catch a few passes for you if you need him to. So let's hear from Alex Erickson. Here's Alex Erickson with Reporters Today on Brandon LaFell being released, being cut by the Bengals.
And LaFell was let go. Veteran guy, obviously. What, as a young player, what did you learn from LaFell?
First off, it's always a, you know, whenever a guy that you've done a lot of reps with and practiced a lot with and grown a relationship with, and then he gets let go, it's obviously tough. And you know, I learned a lot from him. Obviously, the foundation of the way he works every day of practice comes out, along with AJ. You know, those two guys were the vets in the room, the guys that was young players coming in. Those are the guys that we watched everything they did, and we learned everything, tried to learn as much as they were teaching us and all that stuff. And just the selflessness he had to always help me out, that's something that I always remember, and something that I'm grateful for. Just the person he is and the character he has.
They can't make that move if the young receivers aren't performing well in camp. Do you feel like this group has had a solid first six practices?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've put in the work, and we're ascending. You know, and that's, we just got to keep going and keep. Now can we do it consistently? And we obviously know we have the talent and all that stuff, or else we wouldn't be here. It's just a matter of putting in the work and then doing it over and over again, and building that trust with Andy, so he knows where we're going to be and he can rely on us. And so when the bullets start flying for real, we trust where we're supposed to be, and we're there.
I know the wide receiver room's a good room, and when LaFell moves on, does the room feel like the organization did him justice by letting him go early so he could hook on elsewhere?
I think so. I mean, as a competitor, and if they felt like they wanted to move on now, I think, you know, it gives him a shot to go somewhere else and prove that he obviously can still play. I've seen it first week of camp, and so I think it gives him a good shot to go somewhere else. And obviously, we wish him the best of luck, and hope he does well.
How do you replace him in the room?
You know, the leadership thing's going to be a big factor, and obviously AJ is still the cornerstone and the guy that sets the tempo for us and the guy that we all follow, and that's obviously not going to change.
Do you think you have enough skins on the wall to make your voice heard a little bit in the room?
I think so. I'm getting there. Obviously, at the understanding the playbook and all that stuff, and guys trusting your opinion and trusting, you know, with how you see things. So I think, you know, that helps a little bit. And but obviously, we're all going to, it'll be by committee, and you obviously just don't replace the Brandon LaFell with one guy. So it'll be a committee thing, and
crazy is the competition right now, because it seems like every day one of you guys or a couple of you guys has a great practice.
Yeah, I think it's competition, and it's lifting for everybody, because we all see guys making plays and we want to be the next guy that makes that play. And so it's a healthy competition. It's competition that we know we're obviously competing for however many spots they're going to be, but we're all pushing each other, and at the end of the day, we're all getting better, and that's making the Bengals better, and it's making you better as an individual.
That's Alex Erickson in the Bengals locker room earlier today. And it's going to be a competitive, competitive wide receiver room, because now, say what you want, but the number two job kind of up for grabs. I tend to think that it's going to be a mixture of guys. I said this today on ESPN 1530. My prediction as of now would be Tyler Eifert would be second on the team in touchdown receptions, because I think they're going to use him out of the slot a lot, and a lot like a wide receiver, and I'm assuming health right now. John Ross would be second in the team behind A.J. Green in receiving yards, and Tyler Boyd would be second on the team in receptions. So I don't think they'll have a true number two. I think it'll be a mixture. If all things go well, it'll be a platoon of guys, and this offense will be as exciting as it's been definitely since 2015. Let's hear one more. AJ Green earlier today. This is longer. This is on him being an old man now that he's 30. That and his reaction to LaFell being cut and more. This is about 8 minutes long. AJ Green on Brandon LaFell and more with reporters earlier today in the Bengals locker room.
Brandon, moving on, I guess we'll start there with, I know you liked having him here the last couple of years and the influence he had. So I guess just speak to that a little bit.
You know, Brandon, a guy that was great for our room, a veteran, a guy that knows how to be a pro, knows every position, could plug them in anywhere. So losing him, you know, hurt. But, you know, it's a business. A lot of young guys here that's ready to play. But, you know, it sucks. You know, me and Brandon became real close this last year. And it's one of my, you know, friends off the field. So it's tough, but it's a business. And, you know, he knows the business side of it. So.
There's a lot of young, I mean, if there's a legacy, so to speak, it's really in this room. I mean, he had a big impact on these young guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Just like I said, teaching the young guys, he's more vocal than I am. I'm more of the quiet guy, so he was talking to the young guys more and just take him on his wing because he's a very friendly guy and you want the young guys to learn. So we're going to miss that about him.
How do you replace him in the room?
You know, we all know we can replace them. Just his presence, like I said, he knew every spot on offense and could plug them in anyway. But you know, we got to keep playing. We got a lot of young guys that having a great camp. So
it's one of those deals where everybody does a little, so nobody has to do a lot.
Right.
I mean, like you said, one guy doesn't replace them, but if everybody
right. Yeah. You know, we got the guys that can really play. It's gonna be tough. But, you know, like I said, man, the business side, it sucks because you form this relationship and then the next day it could be gone. But like I said, these young guys, they're ready to play right now.
How do you change? Do you have to change your style or just keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I guess I know I got to, you know, talk a little bit more, you know, teach the young guys a little bit more, be more vocal a little bit. Now that he here, because, you know, he'll have my back when talking to some of the young guys, or I'll go talk to him. Now that he's gone, then I'm going to have to do all the talking. So,
I know you don't make roster decisions, but obviously the team wouldn't feel they could do this if they didn't feel Josh and Cody and Alex and John have stepped up. So what have you seen from those guys in this camp that, you know, obviously makes the team feel like they're ready?
Yeah, you know, like you said, y'all are at practice and y'all see – you know, the camp that TV's having, and Josh before he got hurt, and Tate and CC, those guys, they can do a lot of stuff. Special teams, offense, Alex, you know, punt return. So, you know, what those guys can do, and, you know, they're going to keep doing what they got to do, and they're going to help us win.
Veteran guy going into his ninth year, but you're going into your eighth.
Yeah.
You made 7 Pro Bowls, so every young guy talks about you, how you practice, how you do things.
Yeah.
Significant and important to
you? Oh, of course. Like I said, I'm not the biggest guy with vocal talking a lot. I lead by more of an example. So the way I work every day and the way I approach practice and the way I approach the game, off the field, get my body ready for games, get my body ready for practice the next day, that's why I try to lead.
How surprising was this move for you?
It was very surprising for me because I felt like as a guy that, you know, brought value to our room. But like I said, there's a business side. Like you said, these young guys are really playing well. So I understand it.
Do you feel like it was done to give him even more time?
Yeah. I think it was definitely done this early just to give him the opportunity to go to a different club and really catch on to prove himself. So.
Green's now AJ Green's the only Bengal receiver who's 30 years old.
Oh, right.
That happened quick.
You're right. That happened real quick. But like I said, I'm still young, man. I still got a lot in the tank. Like I said, I got a long time left. So
You've been talking about playing until you're 36. Right,
right. Right. 36 is the number for me. So we'll talk after that.
Do you? I know this off season you said you didn't change much in terms of your prep.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel? It's been, I guess, 3 days of pads. I mean, it's one thing to think that in April.
Right. I feel good, man. Like I said, being one of the oldest guys, I run the most than anybody in practice, and I feel great. You know, I put a lot into my body on and off the field that, you know, really get me ready for the next day. So,
in a weird way, do Ross and Malone, these guys, do they kind of not inspire you, but do they say, you know, you feel like, is there, you know, do you feel like this showing the old man still got some juice there?
Nah, I ain't no old man, Pops. I'm always gonna have the juice. I've had the juice for a long time, had it for a long time. It's not going nowhere no time soon. So continue to keep doing what I'm doing and lead by example, being one of the leaders on offense. So I'm one of the older guys on offense right now. So it's fun, though. But like I said, man, having those guys in the room, you know, they soak everything up like a sponge.
You look back, there have been some similar years, like when you came in as a rookie and then the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you had. I mean, you didn't even have a veteran like yourself, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. So I understand. You know, I came here, you know, starting fresh. I had Romy, and then my second year, everybody got let go, and then I was the oldest guy in there, I guess, at that point. And I was only going in my second year. So, you know, I understand in the business side of the football, and, you know, I can control what I control, and that's the work hard, go to practice every day, work my butt off, and bring the young guys with me.
What kind of camp is Boyd having?
He had an unbelievable camp. The way, you know, you can tell he's comfortable in this offense. He's comfortable, you know, catching the ball, and, you know, he's not thinking too much. He's just going out there and playing. So,
as an authority on wild catches, how would you grade that one he had yesterday?
That's a great one. That's a great one, man. He has some of the best hands I've seen, and he's so smooth with in and out his breaks, very quick, very sudden. So,
this is your third wide receiver coach, right? Bobby's your third?
Second, okay. Yeah.
In both cases, though, Herbs and Bobby, both say, after a week with you, man, this guy's different. I mean, how he approaches everything, plays he can make, you know, on and off the football field. What does that make you feel like when you hear these guys saying it just so soon?
Oh, man, you know, it's humbling, but that's who I am. That's my foundation. It's built off, you know, working my butt off. You know, nothing in life was given. You know, I have to work for everything. So even the success I have now, still not enough. I want to be one of the best, and that's how I work every day.
Boyd's making a lot of catches every day. Tate has a wild catch every day. How about Malone, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like year one to year two, there's a real jump there.
Yeah, you know, like I said, man, that guy, he can run. It's crazy. But I feel like he's more confident than he was last year. Like I said, once you get into a system, get into a rhythm, and you know what's going on, you can go out there and just play, and I think that's what you're doing.
Jake Kumo apparently was having a really great camp in Green Bay, and he attributed that to you, actually. Yeah. So did you give him any advice? Did he learn something?
I love Jake, man. Jake was one of the guys that I really, you know, formed a great relationship when he was here. A guy that worked his butt off and great hands, sneaky fast. So, you know, put him in the system that, you know, just let him run around, man. He had great hands, so I know he would have a great camp.
You think, I mean, obviously you can't watch their camp, but you think he has a real chance to
roster? Yeah, I think so. And I think he will. So
you learn from everybody, you know, coaches, teammates. What did you learn from LaFell? What's the biggest impression he made on you?
I think the biggest thing for me, just being a pro on and off the field, the way he handles it, like he knows every spot. He came to work every day if he was hurt or not. So.
Can Boyd play the outside?
Yeah. I think TB could play the outside.
You said you had plenty of juice left. Is this a LeBron playing with the young guys situation in L.A. only here?
Nah, man, not that old. Like I said, I got a lot of juice left, so can't wait.
It's funny because I meant that as a compliment, like LeBron James taking on the challenge in L.A., and he just called LeBron James old. I thought that was funny, but no, A.J. Green, a trip. I think it's a challenge. I think it's interesting. I think this wide receiver room now has a chance to be as good as it's been since 2015, and I'm glad the Bengals took the risk ultimately to do it. I also think it gives LaFell a real chance to catch on elsewhere. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. You can subscribe, as always, on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. On Twitter, @ James Erpine, @ Locked On Bengals. give me a follow at James Erpine on Instagram as well. I'll be posting some Bengals stuff there throughout camp. And by the way, I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you. Our numbers are great. Your listens, your interaction on Twitter, it's awesome. I hope it continues. We'll have a recap video with Joe Goodberry, with Tony Pike, and news and notes from today's practice up following practice at LockedOnBengals.com. Have a great day. Until tomorrow, when we'll be back in studio. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today on the Locked On Bengals podcast.